You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host Jessica, and today joining me for the first time is Luna.
Hi, I'm Luna. I've been watching wrestling for about 10 years, but watching All Japan since about 2022's Champion Carnival. My favourites are Kenta Miyahara, Yuma Ayagi, Yuma Ranzai, Ryuki Honda, and Naoi Nomura, even if he's not been around all the time. And my favourite juniors are Musashi, Seki Oshoka, Rio Inoue, Seiji Tachibana, and Fuminori Abe. But I like quite a lot of the rest of the roster because it's just a brilliant roster.
Yeah, you're good picks, and I will allow Naoi Nomura because we all love Naoi Nomura here, and this podcast is very biased towards him, so your picks are valid. So we have such a huge jam-packed show. This one is all about the Royal Road tournament that just happened, and the show after that, the big show, so the fallout from that. But before we dive into that, we have to mention the tragic passing of Taishin Nagao. After being hit by the tour bus on May 31st, All Japan released a statement on September the 7th that said he has passed. I had to read the statement like three times to really absorb it because it didn't really make any sense to me. I'm just like, he's 21. He's so young. He hasn't even wrestled a year and now he's gone. It was just so sad. I was just sitting in my bed, just like staring into space. Like I couldn't believe it, to be honest. Seeing all the tweets that flowed in from the wrestlers who worked with him and some who have not worked with him were just heartbreaking to read. Just watching All Japan and seeing all the wrestlers post, you could really tell that Nagao was so well-liked in this company. Like Suzuki and Nagao seemed like really good friends. Suzuki was even calling him his senpai because Nagao started in All Japan before Suzuki. Kento was always posting videos and photos of Nagao to show where these two would go out to eat. It was really cute because sometimes I just sit in silence and you know Kento's not a silent guy. Just like people like Zion seemed really affected by it. Hartley Jackson in his backstage promo for New Japan talked about Nagao. It's just so sad and devastating. Like the fans were heartbroken. I was heartbroken. The wrestlers were heartbroken. He had so much potential and you could see it from day one. And honestly, out of all the debuts I've seen, he is the best one I've ever seen. And that's counting Anzai as well. So this guy was special. What do you have to say about this, Luna?
Well, it's just really tragic, isn't it? Like, it feels selfish to say what we could have had as a wrestler when obviously he was, you know, seems like quite a nice person. So it's hard to want to focus on that aspect as like, you know, as a wrestler. But he was a very exciting one. It seemed like everyone was quite behind him. Like, he was going to be like quite an exciting like young person, probably for the juniors. And yeah, I was quite optimistic for him as well. I don't know why, but I kind of had the expectation that he would kind of pull through. So when I heard the news, I was quite shocked.
Yeah, I don't think really anyone expected this to happen. You know, we're like, oh, he's going to take time to recover. He might not actually be able to wrestle again, but at least we'll be able to see him in a ring again, even if it's just to announce his retirement. But this is just, it's just devastating.
Yeah.
And even now, like almost a month on, it's still very, very hard. We'll talk about him more in the episode with the last show we're talking about. But yeah, now we just have the hard job to actually move on to the wrestling because, yeah, we're going from something really sad to something really happy. But Taishin Nagao, like, he'll always be a part of All Japan.
Yeah.
So moving on to day one of the tournament, we had Asuka Yagi in Rising Hayato defeat Dan Tamura and Rui Inoue. Hokuto Mori, Kuma Arashi, and Tsukashi defeated Ranayabe, Ryuki Honda, and Shota Kafuji. Shota Ishino, Zion, and Odyssey defeated Davey Boy Smith Jr., Hideki Suzuki, and Jun Saito. Musashi and Sekiu Shirogane defeated Taro Nawashi and the Great Sasuke. In Royal Road matches, we had Daisuke Sakamoto defeat Naruki Doi, Nae Nomura defeat Yuma Aoyagi, and Kenta Miyahara defeated Kengo Mashimo. I'm going to start off with Doi and Sekimoto. I thought it was so much fun. It was only a short match. It was under 10 minutes, but they packed so much into it. What I loved about this is the crowd was 100% behind Doi, and normally they're booing the hell out of him. And Doi's always trying to rile up the crowd, like get, into the heel position of the match. But here, they wanted him to win. He was replacing the injured Rei Sato, so I do have to wonder, would Rei have won against Sekimoto? But we'll never know. It's just like one of those what if things. But I thought it was a really fun match to kick off the Royal Road tournament.
Yeah, I thought it was a good turn, sir. I was a bit disappointed that there wasn't many juniors, well, like, no juniors involved besides Doi, and he wasn't supposed to be there. Because, like, originally it was supposed to be at the Open tournament. But I get that with, like, so many big heavyweights, you can't really leave any of them out. Well, I would have left someone out, but yeah, so I did think it was a fun match. And I was partially hoping for a bit of a bigger match. And I thought that we could have seen a bit more out of Daisuke Sakamoto in the rest of the tournament. So, especially in retrospect, it would have been nice to have a maybe a bit of a bigger match. But yeah, it was nice to see, and it gave like Daisuke Sakamoto quite a like a good win, a strong win without making Doi look too bad. He did his role really well for it. So that was a good match. Yeah,
You picked Sekimoto to win, didn't you? Like the whole
I
tournament.
did pick Sakamoto to win. So. I'm happy with who won the tournament, but I was also like, oh, I would have liked to see him win.
So I picked Nae Nomura because I love the guy. And I think both of our
Yeah.
picks fell to Kento in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. But let's talk about Nae now. I just want to say thank you, Nae Nomura, for returning to kick Yuma's butt, and thank you to All Japan for keeping Yuma's streak alive. So, if you're unaware, Yuma has a 9-year losing streak when it comes to the Royal Road. He always loses in the first round. So, I am biased towards these two, but I love this match so much. Seeing Nomura back in an All Japan ring makes me smile, but seeing him face Yuma makes me smile like a fool. These two know each other so well, there's no way this was going to be bad. They have been partners, stablemates, enemies, but will always put on a great match. And my last note for this was Rei was actually on comms. So he's been on comms a lot this tournament, actually. Yuma brings Nomura like over to commentary and he wants to do like Rei slap, like the stalling slap when he goes to slap and like stops his hand right before his chest. You know how Rei does that? Yuma was doing
Yeah.
that and Rei is just cracking up laughing. He has the worst poker face in all Japan. He just laughs at everything. And I really like Rei. So seeing him laugh at Yuma's antics like really, really got to me.
That's good. Yeah, I like this match a lot. I thought it was the best match of the night, and I liked how like Yuma was quite crafty compared to Naoya, who was obviously a more straightforward guy. And it was good to see Naoya as well, because you kind of worry like after his injuries, because he had like another injury before like he came back as well, didn't he? He had like another big long injury, I'm pretty sure. So with him being out long, you don't really know how they're gonna come back. And how that might change them. But he looked great. He didn't look like he lost any steps at all, actually. It was quite surprising. So yeah, I thought it was a good choice to get Naoya through, and obviously keep the streak alive. So it's not that bad on Yuma, because you always expect him to lose anyways. And now he was a good choice to go through. And yeah, it wasn't too comedy as well, which is concerned about Yuma about. So. Imariagi. So yeah, I thought it was quite a good match, an excellent match, actually loved it.
Yeah, if you're just wondering a bit about Naoya, if you knew or something, like he was one of the big four with Kento, Yuma, Aoyagi, and Jake Lee when they were in Nextreme together. And every one of those members have won the Triple Crown except for Naoya. He had this big injury. He came out and everyone was just so happy to see him, but you could think like, oh no, something's gone wrong. Then he's like, yeah, I'm leaving. Then he left. And then Yuma bullied him to come back to All Japan. Then they came back. They won the belts. Then Now he got injured again. Then now he's back, and like we just hope he stays, really.
Yeah. I still think he will. He's kind of plugged in now, isn't he? So that's good.
For the main event, I've been loving Kengo in All Japan lately. He was my MVP for Block A in this year's Champion Carnival, and he always comes to entertain. Kento and Kengo had a really fun Champion Carnival match, so I was expecting a lot from them. I very much enjoyed Kengo's trying to break Kento's knee all throughout this match. It was so much fun. Kengo turning a blackout knee strike into a submission was just so fucking cool. I had to watch it back a couple times. Kento is the ace that overcomes everything and digs deep to win, but I felt like he won a bit too easily. Kengo was just laying into him for the majority of the second half of this match, and Kento just busts out a shutdown suplex, and like that was it. I'm just like, you could have fought back a bit more. I didn't think it was a bad match, but I maybe would like Kento to have a bigger comeback before winning. But Kento winning was the right move, and Kengo will be sticking around, which we always love.
Yeah, I thought like this could have quite a bit of relevance later on because at the time Kengo was the tag champion. So I thought, well, maybe they'll have a world tag title shot with Yuma, but maybe not because obviously he was All Asia tag champion at the time, Yuma. So neither of that, came to anything because a lot of those titles changed. But I thought, yeah, the leg work was really interesting and. He probably could have fought out the shutdown, yeah, because if the leg probably would affect that, wouldn't it? So it would have helped the story, but I'm not too bothered considering that, yeah, Kenta's the ace and it was a good match, but it kind of felt like the other one could have been the main event, even if I understood why this also probably makes more sense as the main event.
We move on to day two now. So we had Zion defeat Rhea Inoue, six-man tag team titles, Hokuto Omori, Kumarashi, and Takashi defeated Almighty Inoue, Kaba Ito, and Rey Paloma. Jun Sato and Riki Honda defeated Hikaru Sato and Rene Yabe. Asuka Yagi, Rising Hayato, and Yuma Aoyagi defeated Kento Miihara, Musashi, and Dan Tamura. In the Royal Rumble matches, we had Odyssey defeat Hideki Suzuki, and David Way Smith Jr. defeated Shota Ishino. So I'm sorry to start you off with day two because I have nothing written down for it because it was terrible. But do you
Yeah.
want to talk about anything?
I'll quickly say about the six man before the tournament matches. I actually thought it was the best match of the night, and considering the tournament matches, it's not actually that big a surprise, but I think they did like quite build it up quite well, the next title matches with the All Asia and Juniors. So I thought that was actually quite a fun match. It would have been something worth watching, for anyone who's, might want to go back on the shows, to go back to if the tournament, if the rest of the night was any good. It's not a particularly good night, but yeah, I thought that was a fun match. The Atsuki Yagi Rising and Jun Aoyagi versus Dan Tanura, Kenta Miihara and Musashi match. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I just think when it comes to Odyssey and Dave Boy Smith Jr., I don't watch their matches. Like, I just don't care for
Yeah.
them. Especially like having Ishino lose, and he's like one of my favorites. I'm just like, why do you do this to him? But with the six-man tag, I will say I love a six-man tag with Kento, Yuma, Asuki because they're insane. Like, if you remember watching it, like Kento was going crazy the entire time. He's like climbing the ropes, like shouting at Musashi, shouting at Dan, just trying to get them to, get back to the corner and tag him in. Watch Kento six-man tags because it's absolutely chaos and, it's perfect.
Oh yeah, he's brilliant. Six months.
Yeah. He swears a lot, actually, too. So keep an ear out for that.
Like improving it.
So we'll move on to a better day, which is day three. Odyssey and Shota Ishino defeated Dan Tamura and Kairi Sato. Kurishio Choku Japan and Sega Tachibana defeating Yuki Doi and Takashi. Hideki Suzuki, Yuma Aoyagi, Asuka Yagi, and Rising Hayato defeated Kenta Miihara, Musashi, Rhea Inoue, and Dave Boy Smith Jr. For Royal Rumble matches, we had Riki Honda defeated Kumarashi, Zion defeated Hokuto Omori, and Ren Ayabe defeated Jun Sato. So I thought Honda and Kumar was fine, but nothing too amazing. They work well together, and it's good that Honda won because I love Honda. And Kumar is always a good hand to have. He really brings it out with on tournament matches and stuff. But I think their first round opponent from last year was better. So Honda defeated Yuma and then danced over his body and Rei for Kuma. And like, I think Kuma really works well with the Saitos. This wasn't bad. It was okay.
It was a bit stilted to me. It didn't feel like they quite gelled as well as you thought they would do, but it wasn't that bad. It was fine. It was pretty good.
For Zion and Amore, I thought it was a fun little match. I did enjoy Zion waiting for Amore to come out from under the ring, but it turned out to be Takashi and he was doing like the Hokuto Amore like hair taunts and stuff. Zion was his intense self and Amore was, just like who he is, just playing around, having fun, doing those stupid kiss things he does. Amore has a role to play in the company, but it would be nice to see him get a big win from time to time. I will always think back to the time he won the tag league and he got the winning pin. And ever since then, he's been kind of up and down. He had that weird stable with Minoru Suzuki and Ryuki Doi. That crumbled into nothing. Now he has his own stable, which is nice. But I don't know, a big win here or there might be nice and not with the six-man titles. Give him maybe even like an All-Asia title shot or something. Because he held that belt with Yusei Kodama. And they had a fantastic reign. Do you remember that?
Not quite. I don't remember much of Kodama besides like you briefly won it with Tight Japan as well for like a week. I'm sure that was good, to be fair.
Yeah. Like he can do it. It's just, I don't know, he's in this weird stage right now.
It feels like because there's such like a lot of like talent you can go for in the heavyweight scene, like you've got to have a mid-card somewhere. And I don't want to be mean to Amari, but because he's kind of like one of the weaker heavyweights, like that can be pushed, that has been pushed. He kind of makes sense in the mid-card position, but he does kind of need something every now and again. That's true.
Yeah, he's really weird to think about. I don't want to say anything like his personality is weird. I'm just like his career. He went, he like 0-6, so like 6 losses in his last junior tournament. Then he turned heavyweight, and then he just had all these weird factions and just like, what's going on? Like, when is he gonna actually like have that breakout big win? I don't know if he'll ever have that. For Ayabe versus June, I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed this one. Ayabe being the ultimate heel in my eyes, taking June's hair tie out. I don't know how other people feel, but once people take my hair tie out, they don't know how to do it properly and it actually really hurts. I don't know if you have that experience or anybody listening has that experience, but I don't know. I just don't like it. Moving on from that, I really liked instead of an elbow back and forth, they had a kick in the face back and forth because these guys use their legs and they're tall so they can just smack each other in the face with their foot. The running kick right to Ayabe's head looked painful, but so cool. I would like to see these two on a bigger stage for the Triple Crown. I actually did think Ayabe was challenging when he left Elpida. I thought, okay, he's leaving Elpida for something bigger. He's going to challenge June. That didn't happen. But this was definitely one of my favorite June and Ayabe matches of lately. I thought they did great.
I don't think I was quite as high. I thought it was fun, but after like another night of not being particularly great, after a previous night of not being particularly good, that was a lot worse, obviously. But it feels harder to appreciate those like little matches, like when it feels like they should be a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I think something that made it suffer is it had no live commentary. I think commentary really helps when it's a tournament match. I know they can't have it for all shows, but I think for tournaments, I would like them to add a bit more commentary for random shows. So day four, we had Daisuke Sakamoto for Rei Inoue. Odyssey and Shota Ishino defeated Hokuto Omura and Kuma Arashi. Jun Saito defeated Sega Tachibana. Kenta Miyahara, Musashi, and Seki Yoshioka defeated Asuki Oyagi, Raizen Hayato, and Yuma Oyagi. In the Roro matches, we had Ryuki Honda defeat Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Rent Ayabe defeating Zion. What would you like to talk about first?
I suppose we're going to talk about the. I'll talk about the Rin Ayabe versus Zion match. I don't have much to say about the other one. which was just kind of there. So yeah, I thought this was better than like a few of the railroad matches. It could be quite exciting sometimes, but you know, it would still be dragging at like the middle there. And yeah, it's quite frustrating with Zion because he's not still not great. I still probably wouldn't have chosen to bring him in, but he shows some potential. But because he's paired with Odyssey, that kind of makes it less exciting to see him in general. And you just know it's like his big matches, because in the tag team, it's not going to be anything great or even particularly good. But yeah, I thought the Renard did just show the good points of Zion compared to like, you know, his teammate.
I think Zion is improving and getting more over with the crowd. I do like him. I don't like his tag team partner in Odyssey. It's kind of like Kento and Dave Boy Smith Jr. It's just like I
Yeah.
fast forward the bits to watch the Kento bit. And then when he's on, you know, just like, yeah, nah.
Yeah.
I thought 22 minutes was a bit too long for the main event. I would have liked
Yeah.
it if it was just a couple minutes shorter. I did think these two worked well together. I will always love a flying nothing. So when someone jumps off the top rope and doesn't even look like they're doing a move, they're just jumping off the top rope. And Zion did that and he caught an elbow to the face and that was beautiful. There's not too much to complain about this, except for I just wish it was a bit shorter. But for a first meeting 101, I thought they did well. And they got the main event, you know? So good on them. Yeah, I just said for the other one, thank you, Honda, for being that horrible man. Sorry I didn't watch your match, but I'm not going to punish myself.
Yeah, I did think the best part of the match was that he kept Davey Boy Smith out, and
Yes.
I was quite happy IRB went through as well. So yeah, that was a positive of the night.
No, positive is he's actually gone back to Canada for so like we're rid of him for 2 months until like tag league starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to day five, we had Asuka Yagi, Raizen Hayato, and Yuma Oyagi defeated Hideki Suzuki, Musashi, and Shota Kafuji. Hikaru Sato and Kengo Mashimo defeated Dan Tamura and Riga Inoue. Daibu Smith Jr. and Ren Yabe defeated Hokuto Mori and Riki Honda. Shota Ishino and Zion defeated Jun Sato and Naruki Doi. And we had two Raw Road matches. Daisuke Sakamoto defeated Odyssey and Kenta Miyahara defeated Naoya Nomura. So just like with Davey Boy Smith Jr. matches, Odyssey's the same. I didn't watch it, but good on Sakamoto for getting this far. That's all I have to say. Did you watch it
Yeah,
at all?
I did watch it. I watched all the tournament matches. But yeah, I pretty much wrote that despite some chanting fans, obviously kind of stunk up the place. And it was interesting to see Daisuke get some big power moves, but they're not particularly built up and they're quite basic. So even then, it's quite okay. Yeah, well done. But besides that, not really, no.
Well, let's talk about the Kento and Naoya Nomura. So you can put any
Match.
former Next Dream members against each other 1-on-1, and you're always guaranteed a great match. I very much enjoyed Nomura battering the hell out of Kento with a crazy amount of elbow strikes. He just couldn't stop at one point. It was kind of like, geez, Nomura. Okay. It was very competitive, back and forth match. That saw Kento coming out on top, even though I was hoping for a Nomura win. I will say though, I was distracted by this bit I was trying to figure out. So basically, the camera was focused on the ring and behind, obviously, and behind the ring is the curtain where they came out of. And there were two people watching this match from the curtain. I'm just trying to make out like who they were. I thought one
Yeah.
was Yuma for 1 second, but then I'm like, no, here's a beat. That's not Yuma. It was Daisuke Sakamoto. And the guy on the other side was so frustrating because I'm like, who is this? I had no idea. But then when Kento won, they walked past Daisuke Sakamoto and there was like a flash of red hair. I'm like, okay, that's Honda. Honda was watching
Wow.
this match. So like it was a good match, but I'm just like, who is that behind the curtain? It was just so frustrating. But yeah, this was one of the better matches of the tournament, I reckon. Just I always love when people just beat up Kento just for the hell of it, and Nomura did that, so good on him.
Oh yeah, I thought like this match was not as good as the Yuma Aoyagi match, but I still thought it was probably the best match in the tournament outside of maybe it's the bit of, yeah, probably better than any of the other that tournament matches up to that point besides the other Naoya Nomura match. That says a lot of good stuff about Nomura, to be fair to him. And yeah, the wrestlers, like, they knew each other quite well, which obviously they do, as you well know. So yeah, it was great, really. I was really happy with it.
Did you notice the people peeking out from the curtains?
I did. I wasn't as fixated, but when once he mentioned it to me, I was like, oh yeah, they were there. They were there the whole time.
Yeah, you see that quite a lot with All Japan. It's usually Yuma, and he's usually watching the younger guys wrestle because he is the coach, so I'm guessing like he will train them and we'll see how they do. But yeah, this time I'm just like, who is that? Like, stop zooming in, like zoom out so I can see it a bit more. But yeah, they came out. Sorry, Daisuke Sakamoto and Riki Honda came out because they're the final four, just like a little talk, whatever. So moving on to day six, this was a very emotional show. It's where they farewelled Nagao. You had Kento and Hideki in the ring at the start with the rest of the roster, including the referees at ringside. Kento was holding up a photo of Nagao while Hideki held the urn. They had a 10-bell salute. Very sad and emotional start. Everyone was wearing green wrist tape over their regular tape. Zion and a couple other people had like tape around their arm, which is like I think I see it a lot in the West. Around the top of the arm, especially in like sports in Australia and stuff. Like even the referee Kambayashi had a green referee shirt for the first match. So it was just a very, very emotional match, an emotional show. So the card was All Asia title match. Musashi and Seki Yoshioka defeated Yuma Aoyagi and Asuke Aoyagi to become the new champions. Two Railroad matches. We had Kento Miyahara defeated Daisuke Sakamoto and Riki Honda defeated Rent Ayabe, so those two in the finals. Dewey Smith Jr., Kurushio Toku Japan, Naruki Doi and Sega Tachibana defeated Hokuto Mori, Kuma Arashi, Rie Inoue, and Shota Kafuji, Hideki Suzuki, Kara Sato and Keiko Mashimura defeated Odyssey, Zion and Shota Ushino, Jun Saito, Raizen Hayato, and Yuma Anzai defeated Dan Tamura, Nain Mora, and Suwama. And this was Yuma Anzai's return match. And in the Railroad Finals, Kenta Miyahara defeated Riki Honda. So what match would you like to start with?
Well, I'd like to start with the All Asia Tag Title match. I thought that was a great match. Yuma Aoyagi always gets on well with the juniors, which so does Kento as well, and a lot of the heavyweights do, but Yuma Aoyagi definitely does. Because, yeah, he's willing to be big enough to actually cause problems and kind of like show like the differential in the heavyweight junior divide, but he's athletic enough to keep up, and his posturing and stuff and his demeanor. Made it easier to support, the Sekiya Shoka Musashi team, despite them being, less like popular in general. And yeah, Seki had a lot of confidence in it, which made him like exciting as well to watch. And with the result, I'm not too sure, because I do love the Sekiya Shoka Musashi team. They are brilliant. They're kind of like ushered in the current era of the All Asia Tags, because, before that, well, there was one good team before that, but they weren't there for long. It was like Dan Tamura and Sato, I think. But just before them, it wasn't in a good place at all. So I do have a lot of respect for the Sekiya Shoka Musashi team, and I'm not against them being champions again. It's just that Yuma has been in a bit of a isn't been doing a ton recently. So I thought the him tagging with his brother was quite an exciting thing for him, and them losing the tag titles after not having enough much for Rain was a bit disappointing to me, but I'm not annoyed, but I could have done with a bit longer of the Aoyagi brothers as tag champions.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because he was double tag team champions and then him and Kento lost the belts and then him and Asuke lost the belts. I'm just like, what are you doing? I thought he lost the tag belts because he was winning the Triple Crown from June. That didn't happen. Yeah, but I don't know. Asuke still has a belt, so good for him.
Yeah.
So for this match, I felt like having the All Asia title match as the opener was the right call. The opening of the show with a tribute was really emotional and intense, so they needed something to liven the crowd up and get them cheered and stuff. And this was the match to do it. Like three, he said, three exciting, fast juniors and fan favorite Yuma. It was always going to go down good. It turned out to be really fun. I didn't expect the Aoyagis to lose the belts, but I really do like Mu Chan and Sei Chan. So I'm not too sad about it. Musashi pins Asuki after a really, really fun closing stretch where Asuki's super late kick out was like wow in the crowd and myself, I fell for it. So this sets up the title match.
Then it's the semi-finals, isn't it?
Yeah.
With Kenta defeating Daisuke, which was a bit disappointing. I know it's not always the kind of case of semi-finals matches, which kind of makes me think I wish we had a separate night for it because it can be quite disappointing when you get like a quite a big match, Kenta versus Daisuke, and you don't have anything for it really. It's just kind of a quick match to save time so Kenta didn't have to wrestle for too long before he has his main event match.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I would like to see a longer match between Daisuke and Kento. And like you said, like the first two Roro matches were like the semifinals, so they had to get it quick because two of these guys are going to wrestle later in the show, and the other two guys are just like, okay, you're done. Like Honda and Ayabe was a good quick match as well. I thought it was bell to bell action, but like you said, I would like to see a longer Honda versus Ayabe match because they just two get along really, really well.
Yeah, I thought they had a better match though. I thought like they at least had a bit of something together, which I don't know if that's better or worse actually, because it's more of a tease, but also at the same time, both matches would be good anyways. Oh well.
I feel the same way about Apeeta, like I feel about Nextreme. You pick two members. So like Yumanzai, Riki Honda, Rene Abe, or Ryzen Hayato, you put them together in a one-all match. It's going to be great, just like the Nextreme members. Yeah, semi-finals are fine. Small, quick, little matches. I did like Sekimoto attacking Kento straight out of the gate and not letting bask in the Kento chance. That was really cool. And I like that Kento won with a roll-up because he always wins with this bloody shutdown suplex. And it's just like win with like a blackout knee strike or win with something different. When with what, like his snake lock, whatever he calls it. Just like, yeah. So a roll up's fine in my book for this. I was going to move to the Anzai match now. So I just
Yeah.
said, like, welcome back, Anzai. We haven't seen the youngest Triple Crown winner in a while. It's good to have him back. And like, what a match he was in. He had a familiar partner in Hayato and June, which was like his rival for a bit. And on the other side, he had like a little mini evolution reunion. Because all
Yeah,
members
I
were,
was thinking that's like
yeah, all
perfect for evolution.
all wrestlers were members of that faction once upon a time. I really, really enjoyed this. I think Dan looked good, like out of everybody. He's just amazing. A sweet moment in this match was Hayato at one point did like a DDT. Okay, I'm gonna be bad really explaining it. It was kind of like a tornado DDT, but instead of hitting his feet on the ropes and jumping off, he went through the ropes, if that makes any sense. He said that he was working on that with Nagao. He is going to call it the Nagao DDT, and that every time he hits it, he wants us to remember there was a wrestler in All Japan called Taishin Nagao. So that was really, really sweet from him.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. That's very touching.
Mm.
Yeah, I like the match quite a bit. It wasn't like a classic six man, but I thought it was fun. It felt like quite a straightforward like six man, if you know what I mean. Quite even though there's like Hayato who can be quite like charis not that the rest aren't charismatic, but like a bit more flamboyant than the rest, so he kind of stood out in that way. But otherwise, and obviously Junta can actually be quite as well, can't he? But it did feel like quite more of like a classic All Japan six man. And yeah, I'm actually surprised Naomi Nomura's not wearing Evolution shows actually, because they have Dan Tamura on them a lot, don't they? So surprised Naomi wasn't actually popped up in there yet.
He should, definitely. I think all ex-Evolution members have to.
Yeah, they should do, shouldn't they?
I thought it was a good little six man before the finals, like get June to do something because like he was still a Triple Crown champion at that time. Anzai, everyone was just happy to see Anzai back. He looks weird without like his bangs. Bring that because he's like pushed it back now. Like, I don't like it. Bring the bangs back. But like, I'm always happy to see Suwama. He's just such a grumpy old guy that I'm just like, yes, I love you. Come back, please, to Japan. Yeah, just very, very fun match. Would you like to talk about any other matches before we get to the finals?
No, because we pretty much covered all the other ones besides like the Multi-pan with David Boy Smith Jr. and Tarik Shabana and all them lot. So that I didn't have much to say about that, to be fair. That covered all the other matches, I think. So can just go on to the finals, I'd say.
Yeah. I thought the finals was like very, very, very good. We had Kento, who thrives in these big matches, and a super fired up Honda. They had a bit of outside brawling that you always have to have in a Kento match. But after that, things really got going. Just straight actions and a super serious Honda appearing here and there. So elbows are flying, a blackout knee strike caught into a final vent, which I absolutely love when Honda catches stuff and turns it into a final vent. The spot where Kento kicked out a Honda's finisher at the last possible moment just got me so much. I'm just like, holy shit, Honda's winning. Honda's got this. And Kento, of course, with these little super late kicks out. Like, damn that man. The crowd was electric for the finals. Like, this was just such a, it was such an emotional show, and the crowd really brought it. Like, they had so much emotions, like sad and happy, and this was great. It was perfect a way to end the Royal Road, and it was the best match of the tournament. After the match, they shared a little moment where Honda legit looked sad. I honestly thought he was crying for a second. Looking back now, like, it had to be Kento who'd win this. You need someone to lead and someone to talk about the feelings about what happened, and there was like nobody else that it could be but Kento. A huge, huge thank you to Alex Rain on Twitter, who translated some of what Kento said after the match. He said, "Taishin was proud to be an All Japan wrestler. We All Japan wrestlers and crew still think he is a part of us. We'll keep his heart in our hearts to make it better. The promotion he loved. From tomorrow, we and Taishin will move forward together. For fans, I have a favor. Please do not forget about him in your hearts. I myself need to be a cool and good senpai for him." So, like, that's just so sweet. And Kento was, he's usually very cool and confident on the mic, but he was taking a lot of time here with these words and to start speaking. And at one point, I thought, like, this man's gonna cry. Like, he looked like he was about to cry. I'm just like, if he cries, I cry. Like, if his voice cracks, I cry. Like, I can't deal with this. After the match, he posed with the Roro trophy and a photo of Taishin Nagao, and the crowd was just chanting Taishin. And Kento winning the Royal Road was secondary to celebrating what little but precious time we had with Taishin Nagao.
Yeah, I thought the match was excellent. I'm not quite as high as you were in comparison to the. I wouldn't say it's my favourite tournament. I'd still have to go with Yuma versus Naoya. But, I mean, I still love this match. Ryuki Honda is a brilliant wrestler. I do think, like, it's important to remember just how amazing it really is because he also had one of my favourite Triple Crown defences. Well, ever really, against Yuma Enzai, I gave that 5 stars, and I think he's there really. Maybe all he really needs to work on for me is maybe dialing like how out there he wants to be. Sometimes he can kind of maybe go a bit much into like stick, but it was brilliant. Yeah, I thought it was just a wonderful match. See, he's always good at helping to make the matches like feel like he's gonna win it, and Kenno was. He was on top form as well. They both knew what to do together, and I thought that was an excellent end to the tournament. It kind of helps make it feel like a better tournament than it probably was overall. So yeah, that was wonderful.
Yeah. One thing I forgot to write down, but this is Ricky Honda's third loss in 3 years of the Royal Road. He's become second the last 3 years. I'm just like, when is he gonna win? This better not turn into like a Yuma losing streak where Yuma loses in the first round. This can't be Ricky Honda's like legacy. Cause I said, and I can't remember which episode it was, but like Ricky Honda's been a bridesmaid and not a bride like so many times in this company. He's come second so many times in so many tournaments. I'm just like, let him have something. Like, come on. Like, I thought he was going to win the tag team titles with Ayabe. I was so sure they're going to win the tag team titles. And, you know, then they break up. And then he comes second again. It's just like, I don't know. What is next year his year? We have to wait another year for this.
I hope he doesn't become another Ishino where you love him, but he's never going to get to the top.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the fate for the rest of the wrestlers.
It's like Ishino won the trip, you know, not the Triple Crown, sorry, Champion Carnival, and then he got injured. So I'm just like, is that Honda's fate? No.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Moving on to day seven. So this was a big show. We had David Smith Jr., Fuminori Abe, Seki Yoshioka, and Shota Ishino defeated Randy Abe, Ryzen Hayato, Rhea Inoue, and Shota Kafuji. Goro TV title, Kurusho Tokyo Japan defeated Takashi, Ozawa number one, Hokuto Omori, Kukutaro, Kuma Arashi, Naruki Doi, Sega Tachibana, and Sanyo Saito. Daisuke Sakamoto defeated Dan Tamura. Nari Nomura and Yuma Aoyagi defeated Yuma Anzai and Rookie Honda. In the junior title match, Asuka Aoyagi defeated Musashi. Tag team title match, Zion and Odyssey defeated Hideki Suzuki and Kengo Mashimo to become new champs. And in the Triple Crown title match, Kento Miyahara ended Jun Saito's reign to become the new Triple Crown champion for the seventh time. So I'm going to start off first with Sekimoto versus Dan. This was fantastic. There were a lot of headlocks to start, and I was just like, when are they going to get to like beating the crap out of each other? But they shortly did, so lucky for us. The forearms they rained down on their opponent's chest sounded so nasty and painful. Just each hit elevated that match so much more. It's what you expect from these two and what we needed, actually. They have seemed to agree to be a tag team going forward, so we could possibly see them in tag league later in the year.
Oh, that'll be excellent if they get to tag together in tag league, because I feel fit each other really well, don't they? For me, Dan's kind of steadily improved over time because I know lots of people are quite high on Dan. And for a while, he was never quite there for me. He always seemed like he either should strike a bit harder or be a bit more of a technical worker, I thought, like he was in his power for that, because they don't have any other power juniors, so I feel like he had quite something there for him. But it feels like lately he's kind of gotten to where I want him to be. And this match is quite kind of shows that as well. I feel like he's improved quite a bit, and the evolution appearances do help as well. Yeah, I feel like he's got quite a good path in the future, really.
Yeah, I've been loving Dan just more and more lately. Seeing like where he came from with his red mohawk to now when he just like beats the crap out of people. I'm just like, this is a Dan I want all along. Like he doesn't have to be flashy like Asuka or Hayato. He just needs to be this guy who just beats the shit out of people. Kind of like a mini Suwama. Suwama's not really flashy. He had that like sparkly jacket, but apart from that, like he's just this big brute of a guy. And Dan is kind of turning into that. Whether we get like Dan transferring to heavyweights sooner or later, like it doesn't matter. Just as long as he keeps his style and just beats the shit out of people, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'd probably keep him junior just because the heavyweights are quite crowded while the juniors it's still really good, but you've got quite a good number of people up there. You don't really want to lose too many people without gaining any more, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. So I absolutely love the tag team match between Nomoyagi and New Period, but just like these four guys are my four guys. I think it was great and on par with any tag team title match featuring these four. Honestly, just from the word go, these guys were at it and there was really no downtime during the match. But for me, I just don't care what happened in the match. I care what happened after the match. So that was a big talking point. So Nomoyagi and New Period was a short-lived reunion. Yuma Aoyagi and Yuma Anzai will now be a team going forward, as will Honda and Nomura. So I'm a little disappointed we'll have no more Nomoyagi, but like, holy crap, these two new teams are fantastic. I do feel like Nomura has swapped one annoying hyper guy for another annoying hyper guy, but this one just has red hair. I am just really, really excited to see how these two work together in the future. Like, I'm just so much looking forward to Tag League now than I was before, because Tag League is kind of like my least favorite tournament. But like with these two teams, I'm just like, holy crap, like I need to see these two teams and how well they work. And like what double team moves they can bring. Because like, yeah, I would have no idea.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I thought I liked how you mentioned like the Nomura kind of swapped the partners around for like, the annoying ones. I thought it's actually a bit of like a mirror match really, in that you've got kind of like the cooler, black trunks, black hair, They've got charisma, but it's not quite like as bombastic as the other two. And then you've got, Honda and Ayagi, who were quite out there, and colourful characters. And which it wasn't quite as apparent in this match, but that was kind of for the best because they kind of turned it down enough to the point where you could focus on the action. And what brilliant action. Best night, best match of the tour, really. And yeah, like I do agree it would have been cool to see these two both teams being teams together for like a while. But at the same time, it kind of works to have like the previous generation work with the current slash next generation, like kind of have the same dynamics, but getting the younger guys to kind of learn from like the older guys in a way that kind of mirrors each other. If you know what I mean, like.
Yeah. What are you thinking about the Yuma and Yuma team?
The what team?
The
Sorry, it
Yuma
spoke
and Yuma
correctly.
team. The Yuma
The Yuma
squared,
and Yuma
the
team.
double Yuma,
Oh, yeah,
whatever we're
that's going
calling
to be a
it now. I
nightmare
don't
to
know.
like talk about. Like, you
Yeah.
don't want to think with Yuma and Atsuki, like, really, because then you can't really call anyone Atsuki, you can't call anyone Yuma. I actually knew some people who were friends. One was called Luke, the other one was called Luke, and the brother Dylan, but their brother had this obviously the same last name, so it was kind of annoying to kind of talk to them because then you just have the same names like all going around.
It's a team that I thought would be funny if it happens, but I'm like, I didn't expect it to happen. That's the thing. But I don't know. I just have so much hope for these two. Tag team title match. I just wrote stop fucking over at Shino. Maybe Freebird will. It's like the best thing we could hope for this. The Yumas have challenged. I do want to say, I think because Zion and Odyssey are from WWE and NXT, that they got more focus. So I see a lot of articles saying like NXT duo wins All Japan Tag Championships or whatever. And a lot of people are just like, what's happening to All Japan? How could All Japan do this? I'm just like, what happened to this company I love? This is what people are saying. I'm just like, have you watched All Japan lately? Like the juniors are killing it, yeah? Look at like the tag team we had before with the Yumas and Honda and Nomura. Look at Kento and like June's just improving so much along with Ray. Unfortunately, he's injured, so they can't watch him. It's just like, yeah, we have this like negative spot with these two, but the rest of the company is doing so well. Even if you just want to watch the juniors, I will say people just watch the juniors if you want to. I'm just like, it's really frustrating when people are like, what's happened to this company? This company's gone down the hill. I'm like, no, it hasn't.
Yeah, I'm right with you there because it is just the one match that was really rubbish. Like, sure, it's a bad decision because you don't really want like those two to be tag champions. And if you cut that match out, I mean, I don't think people are like, oh, well, this company's back or anything. I think they'd just kind of like ignore the show really. So it's annoying to see. There's a bit of a point where yeah, that it is weaker than it should be in that regard. And that the lack of like good foreign talent is kind of like a bit of an issue with All Japan, which like they got the good, like the Mike DeVecchio and Angel Blanc, they were great. And then unfortunately got the signed to WWE, so maybe they've learned, oh well, let's get the reject so they're not leaving for WWE anymore. But yeah, that is definitely a thing All Japan need to improve on, but I feel like people are kind of overblowing it because we've still got Kenta as champion is the singles, got the juniors, and we have got other great tag teams. It's just that there's one bad focal point that should be mentioned, but also shouldn't be like, the main thing.
Yeah, I think like unfortunately when it comes to this show, people are focusing on them because they were known in America. While it's like, no, you should be focusing on the Jimmy Tan match and the Triple Crown, which we'll get to soon, and like just stuff from the tournament. It's like Kento wins the Royal Rumble, but like there's no other information from this month coming out except for like the winners of tag. And I'm just like, if I survived Voodoo Murders reunion, I can survive these two as champions. Like it's not that big of
Yeah,
a deal.
that's true. I do hope they get better at picking foreigners though. Like, there are so many talented like teams who would fit, like Cowboy Way or Young Guns or like loads of people, like, and I'm just thinking like mainly like the heavyweights that could actually be proper heavyweights in all Japan, because they're quite strict for that. If like, it's, yeah, like there are other options I should definitely go to instead, but yeah, there's other stuff to focus on.
Thing is, do you see either one of the humans being pinned by Zion or Odyssey?
Well, I thought like if they're gonna lose it immediately, they wouldn't be in the. I thought like, well, maybe they won't be in tag league, but maybe they thought, well, we're gonna have put them in the finals of tag league, or we're gonna have them have a big run, so we want to kind of give them the titles to give them a bit of credibility, which I think is quite bad, like short-sighted booking, since like the world tag titles, they're pretty close to your triple crown. That's kind of like one of the big positives of All Japan, is that the tags are that far off. To the point where you had like Yumu Aoyagi is like you're all Asia tag champ for a little bit, like you can have top stars even like the lower like tier tag titles, so that wouldn't be the best booking decision in the world, but also I'm happy for them to get them off as quickly as possible, because it's not like having the belts on them for longer is gonna help the prestige anyway. So I mean that's really good thought for I can't see any of them beating them, maybe there's cheating involved, but yeah, I guess that.
I was thinking because, like, when Davey Boy won the Triple Crown, he lost it straight away. He had zero successful defenses. Like, this could happen with these two. And this is going to Tag League. I can't see them getting anywhere close to what the Saitos did last year. They just dominated the field last year. They did not lose a match. They won Tag League with the belts without losing. I'm just like, I can't see Zion and Odyssey do that. If they do make it through Tag League with the belts, I feel like they'll lose it in January to the winners of Tag League.
Yeah, that would be the case. And it was crazy, the Saitos, because I think I remember like reading that like the Saitos didn't actually lose a single tag like straight 2-on-2 until they lost the tag belts, because they had to vacate the belt when they lost the belt for a little bit, didn't they? So for I think like a full year they didn't lose a single 2-on-2, so I hope they don't quite have that quite streak either.
I don't think they will, but it's just like I don't know how high booking are on these two. It's just like I don't think it'll be high as the Saitos, because the Saitos were just like, top of everybody in All Japan last year. And with Zion and Odyssey following that, that's like a hard act to follow.
Yeah, which I mean, in a sense, that's always going to be the case, because it's like the world tag belts. There should always be a hard act to follow, but yeah, especially after the Saitos.
Let's talk about a better title match, which was the junior heavyweight title match. So first off, I just want to say I love Askew's moonsault. It kind of looks like he's floating through the air, just like so gentle, so graceful. They're really beautiful to see. Secondly, this match was great, but like what else can you expect from the juniors this year? They have been absolutely killing it, and this was no exception. I like the flashes of the mean senior we got from Musashi. Just like kneeing Asuka and like kicking him, like, get up and fight. Musashi did beat Asuka back in the junior tournament, so Asuka had to win here. He had to get his win back from Musashi. But Musashi made him absolutely work and dig deep for it. After the match, Asuka challenged for the All Asia tag belt since he pinned Musashi, one of the champions. He basically said Yuma abandoned him and for like the other Yuma. So Yuma went to Yuma. He left Asuki. But he knows someone who he can tag with. And there was a couple people just saying, like, Hayato, Hayato. And then the crowd started chanting, Hayato. The camera focused on him because Hayato was on commentary. And he looked down trying to hide a smile because Hayato doesn't smile. His smile is not cool enough for Hayato. It was so cute. Hayato, Asuki are back together again. You can't keep these two apart for that long. They're just like drawn to each other. And apart from that, Rhea Inoue is our next challenge for Asuka's title, so that match is also made.
Oh, that's good to hear, because I am a big fan of Ryu Inoue. He's been like one of my favorite juniors in All Japan, like since the Lindemann challenge, really.
Did you like this match at all? The Asuka
Oh
versus
yeah, I did
Musashi?
like the I didn't actually have much to say about. It's not the match I'd least to write about, but it was it. It kind of felt more of a Musashi match in a way, like it reminded me a bit of Lucha, and obviously came from Mitsunoko Pro, so that probably be it really. I thought it was good. I did enjoy myself. It didn't quite blow me away like to a top level, but it was at a good standard, like a good 3.5, 3.75 level match, which is good to have. It's always good to have. It was a good match. Yeah, I'm happy to watch the Atsushi keep the belt.
Yeah. I kind of want him to lose to Inoue. I love Inoue. I just want something for him. Ugh. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm always the one like who's like open for stuff for Runaway to do. I actually kind of frame in the All Asia tag division because I just feel like he really works like he's a bit of a spiteful guy, like just kicking you. So maybe, but hopefully
I
he's in
don't
World
know.
Tag League actually then. But yeah, him as junior champion would be fun.
I don't think he'll win, but I want him to win because I love Inoue. Did you have anything to say about anything else from day seven? Did you watch the
From
Battle
day
Royale at all?
seven, I did watch the battle royale. Well, I watched it, but I wasn't like super attentive. It was fine. It was a bit of a stupid battle royale. Whatever, Jiro's champion makes sense. Is not my favorite, but I mean, I'm happy enough that he's here because I really like Seiji Tachibana. I kind of like I was disappointed when Uptown started because I was like, I was hoping Tachibana would just sign to All Japan because he's actually a really really good like wrestler. And I think Jiro is fine, but I'm also not super excited about him whenever he pops up.
I don't know, but what when this show started, I forgot they had the Goro TV title match. I was actually thinking, someone please get the belt off Takashi, and I didn't want Jiro to do it. It had like a little Renaissance period when it was like Fumino Abe and Sega Tachibana with the belt, and now it's just like Takashi, and I just don't like Takashi. And like Jiro, I don't like Jiro either. I wish I would stop like going hot and cold with this belt and just decide, is it a comedy belt? Is it actually like a serious work about like what do you want this belt to be? Because so many people can hold it, like give it to one of the juniors, give it to like Honda. It matches his hair. I don't know. Just like, is this the right move, giving it to Jiro?
Probably not. And
Yeah.
it reminded me actually that do you know his new jacket? It's like for Uptown. It just kind of reminds me, it's like, is this a tribute to his NXT up leveling days with all the big arrows pointing up?
I don't know. We'll just have to see where it goes. It'll probably go hot and cold again. So let's talk about the Triple Crown match. I thought this was June's best defense, and if not Kento's best match this year, one of his best matches. I thought this was great. Kento was his big match self while June looked dominating. I thought, okay, this was like Kento's going to win it going into this match. There was no way he's going to lose twice to June this reign, but there were a couple times in this match where I was like, holy crap, I'm wrong. June's got this. The last 10 minutes had me on the edge of my seat. There were a bunch of reversals, crazy kickouts. June kicking out the shutdown suplex is such a huge moment because so little people have kicked out of that move. I think it's just like Yuma Aoyagi, Jake Lee, maybe Suwama and Zeus. I don't know. But a lot of people have fallen to that like straight away. But June kicks out of it, which is like, wow, like that's big. The choke slam from the top rope looked brutal and so cool. I'm just like, that's where June wins. Kento kicked out. He wins. He enters his seventh reign with the belt. He is one win behind Suwama, who is eight. And Suwama holds a record for the most reigns with the Triple Crown. So we could be getting like, Kento breaking that record. Kento said for the first time he'll defend the Triple Crown will be at All Japan's anniversary show, which is on October. And as of recording, he hasn't had an announcement for an opponent, unless you've seen something that I haven't.
No,
Haven't.
I'm quite bad at like following Old Japan news. I was quite good at it for a little bit, but you're definitely very much better at it than me. Like, so I've not seen anything. Is there anyone you think it could be actually quickly? Based off
I was
booking,
thinking of Yabe because he defeated June when he was Triple Crown
yeah, oh
champion.
yeah, that's probably makes sense then. So I'll put the eye out of it. So yeah, I enjoyed the match as well. I thought it had a big feeling. It did feel formulaic because not only have they wrestled before, but it's the all outside, the guy on the outside, and they do the barricade thing, which is quite a trope with not just Kenta, but all of like, big Japanese main event type things, isn't it? So, but it was still an excellent match. I was happy to see Kenta get the win. It's not actually my favorite defense of the Triple Crown from Jun. I preferred the Honda match, which is probably gonna, which has been like the case to me for a few title reigns, actually. Honda in the Anzai reign. They should have had him and Dave Boy Smith Jr. thought a good one for him. yeah, no, it was a great choice for a winner. It feels about right time for Kenta to be champion again, because even though he's been world tag champion, and that's been obviously still a big push for him, it's been about time for him to get the singles belt and just show off on his own why he's the ace of like all Japan and get that big run in again. And I feel like even though we had another like big long reign, have another big long reign anyways.
It'll be interesting to see him go into Tag League. I don't think he'll lose at the anniversary show, by the way.
Oh, no.
Yeah, to see like if anyone pins Kento or pins that team and just says like Kento, I want you. I want that belt in the new year. But yeah, no opponents yet. No one came out to challenge Kento, which I found weird. I don't know. I don't know, because I'm thinking like, do we want to like do like Honda and Suzuki and Anzai and Yuma? Like with Kendo straight away, or do we want an opponent June didn't face? That's why I'm thinking Ayabe.
Yeah, because Jun faced a lot of people, so
Yeah.
yeah, it would like be a lot bit of a fresher face for it, really.
Yeah, I'm also thinking, is Ayabe versus Kento big enough to headline the anniversary show? I don't know if they see Ayabe as big enough to headline a huge show like that. I don't know. Maybe Ray's back from injury.
Yeah, actually, Ray. I mean, we did have Ray for June, but I mean, that would be a big match, but at the same time, like, I wouldn't be in love with that just because, like, Ray is different from Jun, but he's also not. So it'd be quite like a bit of a match after like they've already had the match with Jun, and Jun already wrestled Ken twice now. So it'd be a bit of a stale match, even though it's not happened for a bit, I wouldn't say. But yeah, maybe. Or maybe Sawamura if they want to use him for a big match for the anniversary. He's obviously out of the company mainly, but I mean, if you want to do something that Jun's not wrestled, that's a big match to go to. Now he would be good, but he's not got the win, I don't think. But I mean, now he would anyways. Maybe bring back Zeus. He's not been in All Japan for a while, and he's busy with
I
Sakura,
know.
but I mean, work with Sakura and get him in.
I was thinking the guy we all forgot about, Ishino. He could say like, I'm in Havoc now, where we want to dominate, we want all the belts, we already have the world tag team, I'm coming for the Triple Crown next. I don't know, that could
If
be something.
that's how we get there with the world tag belts, I'm willing to stomach one bad champion in exchange for Ishino being in the Triple Crown main event spot at the anniversary show, as long as the rest of Havoc lose the belts soon after. So that is actually a good point. But I mean, he didn't have a good tournament though, did he? Shitara Ishino. So I mean, he's not got much of a case really because he's just kind of lost a lot of his matches recently, so.
I'm trying thinking like who else is a heavyweight in all Japan, and all I can come up with is like Masanobu Fuchi, and that guy's like 70 years old. That's not gonna happen.
That'd be interesting to watch, like, having to do like a 30-minute match with him.
Know. We just have to wait and see.
I was like thinking, like, maybe like because they're working on Dragon Gate, maybe Kai, if they bring him back.
Yeah, true. They are working with Dragon Gate. They're doing like a crossover show for Doi's anniversary, I think. Kento is in a tag team with Yuma and Yamato. He's facing Anzai, somebody, forgive me, Dragon Gate fans, and Shun Skywalker. Imagine if we get like Shun versus Kento.
That would be interesting to watch.
So I just want to say, like, all up, I think this tournament was good. For me personally, it suffered following the junior tournament because I thought that was fantastic. I thought it was the right winner with Kento, and it was the right move giving him the belt. We got some exciting stuff coming out of it. I don't know. I thought it was good. Not great, but I don't know. What do you think?
I'd say overall it was, it's hard to say because like for such a long middle of it, I was quite checked out of it. Like I kept attentive and stuff, and I watched the matches, but it just kind of felt like a sludge. But the first night was really great, and the second night had a great final. So I think it's kind of buoyed by like the one part of the tournament, but like the last night. You know, with all the other matches, that kind of helps it like feel a lot better, even though that one actually part of the tournament. So it was a it did what it needed to do, but I feel like with all Japan's like heavyweight tournament, sometimes that can be kind of all they kind of do sometimes in the middle of it, where they're just kind of cursed a little bit, and you know, a bit of iffy booking sometimes, and but the first bits and the last bits are good, so. It's not terrible, but it's like it could have been better.
I feel like All Japan always starts off tournaments good. Like day one's always a lot of fun. And then it kind of dips and rises and dips and rises. Yeah, it was fine. So let's leave Railroad in the past. Let's move on to Tag League because that has been announced. Half the teams only have been announced. And so far we have Kenta Miyahara and Davey Boy Smith Jr., Rene Abe and Talos, Hideki Suzuki and Kengo Mashimo, Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, Zion and Odyssey, and Hokutomura and Kuma Arashi. So the next set of people will be announced in October. I think it was October 22nd. But we have thought about some possible other teams. So of course, the two Yumas, Aoyagi and Anzai, Nainamura and Riki Honda, Asuka Yagi and Raisin Hayato, Dan Tamura and Daisuke Sakamoto. And you mentioned Sega Tachibana and Jiro, so Kyushu Tokyo Japan, which is just like, why didn't I think of that? They've been in tag leagues before. Yeah, I think that's a good shout as well.
Other tag teams I can't really think of who could be in it, and there probably is someone like that I'm not fit. Yeah, because I think we've covered most of them in that.
Oh, it's the
Yeah.
person we forgot before, Ashino. He doesn't have a tag team partner.
Yeah, that is thing, but like maybe they had another member of Project Havoc.
I'm thinking they're going to have another member of Havoc to bring in.
Yeah. Who's like been released from NXT that they can bring in? And is Quincy Elliott available?
I don't know, but I hope Ishino is in tag league. He just needs a partner then. I wanted to him to be with Zion because I actually really like that tag team, and they even had like double team move after tagging with each other for like one show. They already had double teams.
Yeah, I can't really remember that tag. I guess I'm guessing that one like a big proper tag team. I did like his tag team with Ryuki Honda as well, and obviously Suwama. That's just getting into all the previous tag teams that are out available now.
Yeah, bring
But yeah,
Suwama
it's
back
probably just gonna
in.
be it.
Make Runaway Suplex a thing again.
Yeah, that would be good. I just don't think that's gonna happen.
No.
Maybe a junior, like well, that would be down, wouldn't it? He's taken up now.
Inoue.
Ryu in a way would be good, but I don't want him in Project Havoc, but it'd still be good for Ashina.
Before Odyssey joined, and I really liked Havoc, I thought Inoue would be a good fit because he's kind of this, angry, smug junior, and I think it would be good to have a junior so they could kind of dominate tag team, singles junior as well. I don't know if they're going to go in that direction because Inoue kind of seems like he's just floating in nothing now. Like, where does he land? Who knows? But I don't know if he would be too bad in Havoc. I think he might thrive there.
Yeah, I mean, it helps throw off some of the bad vibes, I suppose, because right now it just feels like Ishina and the NXT guys, in a way, would help that, but it would also lower Ishina's stock in it as well. Like, he might be kind of like lead, it might make him start like the leader, but only because he's like, it's not as bad as this, but do you know, like how Yoshihashi was is in 2000X for a little bit before that? Like, pivoted to his hour, you know. It's what he obviously would be is like books like that, quite. But like he was kind of like the mouthpiece for a bit, and that's kind of why he's leader. But Because obviously they'd be in the old age level, because in a way it's a junior, but I mean, it'll still be an excellent tag team, so I'm kind of in two minds for it. I wish it wasn't so complicated.
I feel like it might be kind of like when Ashina was in Runaway Suplex, he was like working a lot with Dan, and Dan was kind of learning from Ashina and Suama, of course. I think maybe Rhea Inoue can take that spot and like learn from Ashina because they have very different styles. Ashina's more like a power guy, and Rhea Inoue is just like I'd kick you in the face. So Rhea Inoue could be like, I just want to learn more. I want to be better. Like, teach me. I don't know. It could be completely wrong. Could be like just some random guy from like one of the indies in Japan. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a possibility as well.
I know Tag League is far away, but do you have any?
I guess not as much predictions, but I mean, I guess might get like a all Asia tag talent out of it as well, like Hokuto Mura versus Kunbarashi versus Musashi and Seki Yokosuka, or maybe. The Dan Daisuke team could, or like the Seiji, Taichi Banner and Kyushu Tokyo Japan team, they could all get a title shot with that. And as for winner, I want to go Naori Nomura and Ryuki Honda, even though they're technically not announced yet, because I feel like maybe it should be Yuma and Yuma. But with that, I kind of want to see Naoya and Honda get like a massive win because I love them both. And when they've not reached the top, you always kind of worry like they could be sidelined easily. But also, the Umas need something to do because Yuma Ranzai's like kind of avoided that by being out for a few months and he had the All Asia before that. But Yuma's kind of not. He's not floundered, but he's kind of being like a bit of a rut. So maybe it would help to be like with Yuma Ranzai. So it could go either way, really. Have that be the finals, and that's kind of like how it links back into the show.
I think we both forgot the team we talked about before, which is the Saito brothers. I think
Oh yeah,
Ray
they're coming
is,
back, aren't they?
I
Yeah.
think Ray's still going to be injured for Tag League. I don't think he'll be back in time. I think they said February. So Naruki Doi, Mr. Saito, and Jun Saito. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't think about Saito, so thought because you but yeah, they might not be probably not gonna be in it unless like there's a miraculous recovery. But I mean, yeah, Doi and Jun would be fun. He can take the pins, but also it'd be great. But so that's a possibility, yeah.
I think maybe if Ray was okay, that would have already been announced.
Yeah.
We just got to wait to October 22nd for the rest of the teams to be announced. And they're being split into blocks. I don't know how many blocks. I know once they did like four blocks and that was like terrible. So hopefully not four again. Hopefully
Oh.
just two. Yeah, we just got to wait and see. We move on to match of the tournament and wrestler of the tournament. So I said, like, what did I say? Like, Ryuki Honda and Kento was like my match of the tournament. I think writing it at the time it was, but when I think back, I went with Nomura versus Yuma. And that's like just my bias speaking and coming through. So Kento and Honda and June were close, but no. I gotta go with my boys.
Yeah, and I'm saying like I don't mind like having my biases like when it's kind of just them being your favorites. The favorites for a reason. Like I've got a bias because they're the best like wrestlers in the company, really. Yeah. I'd say that's the best match of the tournament. I'd say best match overall of the tour was the tag match, Honda and Anzai versus Ayagi and Nomura was my favorite match overall. But of the tournament, it was the singles. But I thought I might as well mention the tag match because that's it's part of the shows that we watch. So.
My wrestler of the tournament is Kento. Like, I don't know. I don't think anyone came close, really. He won the tournament. He won the Triple Crown. He had good matches throughout the tournament. I can't go past Kento.
It's a tie between Kento and Nomura because Nomura didn't get the benefit of having the final match. But he showed he still had it, and he was in the best matches of the shows. Well, Kettlewatt wasn't that far off, but he had the volume, so I'm probably kind of leaning more towards Now, yeah. But Kenta was brilliant in it as well. It's interesting. Just have him in a match to determine who's better.
So we have reached the end of another episode. I want to thank you all for listening and supporting Jumping Kneepod. You can find me at Sister Jessie and Railroad 72 on Twitter, and also Blue Sky at Sister Jessie. Where can people find you, Luna?
They can find me on Twitter at Luna underscore 100 at score zero and on Blue Sky Luna 1000.bsky.social.
So thank you for joining me, like another new person added to the Jumping Kneepod family. I'm very, very happy. Yeah, you're part of the family now, so you can't leave.
Yeah.
You're in there forever.
Well, it was brilliant being on. I was a bit nervous, but it went really well, I think. So, yeah, nice being here.
So thank you all once again. I have been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.